This is Joanna Schrader reporting live from the Ag Associates Conference in Houston, and I am with Dr. Ron Heiniger. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Well, you made the trip over from North Carolina State University.
That's right.
And can you tell us a little bit about what your area of expertise is?
Yes, I'm a research and extension specialist there at North Carolina State. My area of expertise is corn and wheat soybean cropping systems.
Well, today you talked a lot about corn, but just to sort of take a step back, what is a traditional per-acre harvest of corn?
Well, our state-wide average is around 120 to 125 bushels to the acre. That has been going up, as it has in most of the country, but that would describe pretty well the average or the normal yield that we get there in that state.
Okay, but what you showed today is that you actually have seen some yields closer to 300 bushels
right.
per acre. Can you talk a little bit about how the tests that you're doing and the products you're using to see some of those results?
Well, that's exactly right. Our goal is to try to explore yield levels there in the southeast, and the idea is that yield equals profit, basically. The more yield a farmer can get, why he's able to cover his expenses better, his machinery costs and all that. So in order to get there, we recognized we had some limitations, such as stress. Even though we get plenty of rainfall, that comes at the wrong time, just as many parts of the country it does. So we knew we needed to address stress. We needed to find ways to get the plant to be more productive. And so as a result, we learned a little bit about what the key factors are, such as plant population, to intercept more light, doing something for stress, getting early growth. Roots become so critical there. Our soils are mostly sandy. Our low pH in the topsoil, which means our root zone is going to be limited by how deep it's going to get. So unlike Iowa, where they got all those lice-less soils, we got sandy and shallow soils. So we've got to come up with more roots to make up for that problem in our air. So more root growth and then finding ways to combat heat and other stresses that tend to affect pollination and those factors. So, and we got to looking at, you know, when you talk about getting root growth, that your tools are very limited. You've got fertilizer early in the plant life to try to do that. You've got some products like solar materials that help us get the hormone stimulated to get more root tips growing and get longer roots and those kind of things to happen. The same can be said when we talk about how to do a better job of reducing heat and get pollination. You've got some limited products. We've looked at fungicides and their role in that. We're looking at stolen products in that avenue as well. So it comes down to looking at making sure your fertility is right and being able to look at products that others may not have a value for, but that we become very important on our shallow soils and in our situation. Yeah.
Now, when you're talking a lot about the root structure and the importance of, you're saying, the early growth on the roots, is a healthy root synonymous with a healthy soil?
To some degree, it is. That's right. A soil that has a lot of nutrients already there and has a higher potential for stimulating that plant growth and getting roots to develop on their own. There's a lot of truth to the fact that the best prerequisite for a high yield is high levels of nutrition in the soil and a balanced nutrition in that soil. So you're exactly right. A healthy soil really helps do that. Our problem is, in many cases, we start with soils that aren't as well endowed. Certain sandy soils leach nutrients or may not hold nutrients at the levels we need, and so we've got to look at those marginal situations like that and try to come up with a way to enhance their native fertility.
Now, back to, you talked about heat tolerance, because it does get pretty warm in North Carolina. So, I mean, can you talk a little bit more about how you're trying to reduce some of the stress relating to heat?
Well, it does come back to again, plant growth to a large extent. You're trying to get the one thing that the plant has going for it is transpiration as a way of cooling itself. So better root growth, being able to intercept more water is critical. One thing that is important to understand in the southeast is, because we do get rainfall every once in a while, it's a matter of waiting for that next rain event. So you may have a situation where you're on a sandy soil. If you could just buy another 2 or 3 days, that's all it takes to get to that next event. So a little bit of root growth that we found goes a long way in buying that extra 2 or 3 days in it. So it is transpiration to some extent, being able to maintain the efficiency of the leaf against diseases and other things also helps in that heat tolerance and things like that.
Now, did you research in particular when to apply product? And if so, like what have you found to be the optimal time?
Well, we did and continue to look at when to apply product because of a number of factors. What's the most efficient to get it to the site of action? How's the best way to get the plant to take it up? And so as a result, over the years in which we've been looking at these products, why we've looked at applying them to the seed in furrow as a 2x2 band or even foliar at different stages in the plant's life. One of the things that we have discovered, and I mentioned that in my presentation, was that we definitely need to have them there as quickly as possible. Get that young seed as it starts shooting out that first little root there, seminal root, that it immediately contacts some of these hormone type products, because that really changes the game right off the bat. So we did find that having early and quick uptake is important. So that's why we started looking more closely at seed or furrow to apply as based on those observations. Although to be frank about it, our foliar applications have given us some advantage, particularly in a year in which we had some rainfall following that application. We still had enough moisture and to help stimulate that uptake of that foliar product and to get it to work. So,
you mentioned you've been doing this for many years. So, you know, as an expert, what would you recommend for farmers, particularly in their area, to help improve their yields?
Well, the one thing that we recommended is that the simplest way to apply the product and most effective is an in-furrow application of about 1 pint of this bioforage material. That has been consistent. It's an easy way to get it in direct contact with the seed as early as possible and at the amounts that a grower really needs to do. So that, from my standpoint of recommendation, that's the first thing I recommend a grower to look at is there a way that I can apply it in furrow at the time of seed application. If not, if you're already, say, got your tractor tied up with some starter fertilizer or something like that, it makes that a difficult, well, then a seed application, as I discussed here, is probably your next opportunity. To a large extent, growers are successful because they learn to innovate, and that's part of what you're going to have to do with this product. Learn to start out with that as your basis and then see where there are other opportunities that might be used to stimulate that crop. For instance, hail damage or high hit temperature stress may be opportunities to apply a little bit to get you through those difficult situations.
So is there anything else that you want to add that you'd like, you know, growers who are listening to this interview to know?
Well, as I said in there, I think a grower's has a great opportunity these years to use some innovative new products. You know, for a long time we thought nutrients were the only thing we needed and planted this population, and that's how our dads taught us. But our new hybrids and new genetics really open up a whole possibility of things that we should be able to look at and to try. Early fertility is becoming more common than it ever was because of the fact we need that rapid growth. Use of these kind of products that stimulate the growth hormones early on are becoming, I think, more of a mainstream practice in our corn production. So I just urge a grower to consider utilizing some different approaches here as he tries to reach for those higher yield goals.